Okay, so, you know, I'm not going to come up here and say that I'm going to give you a complex word because I want to give you the truth tonight. And the truth isn't always something that is groundbreaking because maybe the ground's already been broken because the truth has already been laid in place and it's been there for years and years and years. So today I want to talk to you about standing out because, you know, we live in a society where fitting in is very desired, and fitting in, that's the norm. Everyone wants to be loved. Everyone wants to be welcomed, and they want at all times to be accepted by everyone. And while that is a good thing to be accepted, but it's not a good thing to be accepted for the wrong reasons. And I'm going to point out two ways to you today that being standing out can be accomplished. I have two major points. And the first one is investing into your relationship with God. So we've all had a close friend, right? Someone we've grown close to, but it doesn't start out that way. You don't meet that person and you're not immediately going to be buddy-buddy with them all the time. You establish common interests, you talk, and you just get closer over time the more you spend time with each other. But the same things happen the opposite way. I'm sure many of us have lost a close friend. Rather, it have been because of they moved away, you stopped talking, or you just had an argument or something like that, whether it was a silly argument or something serious. But the key there is communication stops. You do not talk to that person anymore. So communication, if it's communication is key in relationships, why wouldn't it be key in our relationship with God? So when you're spending time with God, you're investing into that. And that's important for you as a Christian because there are many ways to communicate with God. And I'm sure you know these, but I'm going to just state some of them. We pray. That's us talking to God. We meditate and read our Bibles. That's God talking to us. God gives us signs and people we meet, events that occur. And then there's praise and worship, which is an opportunity for communication both ways. So the more we invest time into these practices and spend time with fellow Christians, including going to church and fellowshipping opportunities, the more our relationship with God grows. It's a very logical, common idea, you know, because God's your father. You know, if you spend time with your father, you're getting closer to your father. But how does this allow us to stand out? Hebrews 6:1 states, "Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God." So the closer you grow to God, the more the others will see you in Christ because of your maturity in Christ. The more you're mature, you know, maturity is not something we have a lot today. You know, we live in a very immature society, as sad as it is to say. It's something that's being lost. People don't know how to handle themselves, not just from a Christian standpoint, but on a day-to-day basis. And it's only going to get worse because we, you know, as a society, we're letting people slip out of our grasp, and we are refusing to stand out. So God will naturally cause you to stand out as you invest into his word, because you're not going to be in an opportunity and have the position to share to other people God's word if you're fitting in with the ordinary. God doesn't want you to fit in with the ordinary, because if someone notices, hey, there's something different about that person, you know, they're going to want it. If they're going through depression, if they're having the saddest time of their life, or they're tired of abusing their bodies with all these terrible things and they're looking for a change, they're going to look for a change. And you need to be there and be that opportunity to be the change. So it's important that we invest ourselves into God's word so that we have the knowledge to tell them and the wisdom of God in us to spread to them so that we can stand out in an ordinary society. After this, my second point is being comfortable. You need to be uncomfortable in your everyday life. And that doesn't sound very fun, does it? You know, no one likes being uncomfortable because we live in a very comfort-based society. We want luxury cars. We want roomy houses, you know. If a house doesn't have enough closets, people complain because it's not comfortable, because we want stuff and it gets cluttered and it's not, you know, it's not comfortable anymore. We focus on memory mattresses. We eat comfort foods. Even the seats in the church are comfort, you know, they're made for comfort. They have cushion in them. They're not hardwooden benches. So, but I want to point out that comfort isn't a bad thing by nature. It's not bad that you're sitting on a cushioned seat. There's nothing wrong with that. But It's okay and to work hard and enjoy things that bring us comfort. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that when the things that bring us comfort become the driving forces in our lives, we become content and they become dangerous. So avoid your comfort zone. It's easy to stay in our little bubble of comfort on a day-to-day basis in the same routine. I'm going to be honest. Some days I go to work, I'll just come home, I'll relax, watch some Netflix, play some video games, and that'll be it for the day. I might spend some time with my fiance if she's free, but you know, that depends. So as you see, you know, it's a routine, something we do over and over and over. I'm going to encounter the same people over and over and over. I'm going to do the same things over and over and over. So you can minister to these people that you see every day, but why would you limit yourself to ministering to just a set amount of people when you could be ministering to the masses like Jesus wanted us to share the word? Even if it's person by person, it doesn't have to be speaking to a crowd, you know? You're supposed to have these interactions. So whether it's going out in your community and just talking to people, community events, and, you know, sometimes I go out to a basketball court, you know, there's a lot of people that are unreached by God out there. So we have to break the mold and break our ordinary schedules, no matter how uncomfortable that may be. So how can you stand out by being uncomfortable? I have 3 subcategories here. Be selfless. And this is simple. You don't even need a different word to define selfless. Less of yourself. Because the flesh, we want to focus on what we have, what we can do. It's about us. But that's not God's mentality that's instilled in us when we're reborn again. It's man's mentality. And it's something that's driven in by society. So if you're at work, you know, you can go, you can do your job, you can do your task and leave. But what if you have a coworker who's struggling with something they're doing, who says you can't go out of their way and help them with their task, even if it means you have to stay late for that day? Who says you can't bring in coffee for the office if it's just, you know, something as a nice gift? And at school, you can go to your classes. You can go and you can learn. You can have lunch with your normal friends. But what if at lunch you sat with someone that wasn't very popular and didn't have many friends? Because that doesn't only get you noticed by that person. Everyone else notices that too. Because your friends are going to notice it because you're not sitting with them. Then the other people are like, why are they sitting with them? And the person you're sitting with is going to have possibly a friend for life at that point. And you could be saving them from something terrible because they have received some of God's love. So by performing these tasks we wouldn't normally do to go out of our way, we are leaving our comfort zone and showing God in us, making us stand out. The less we focus on us, the more we focus on God, and the more we contribute to his kingdom. So my second point, be countercultural. This is something we kind of talked about in the back class, the Sunday before last. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. So the world and our flesh also are occupied with popularity. We want the popular music, the popular movies and celebrities. And I don't want to throw out and, you know, think all these things are bad, because you can listen to modern music and it not be bad. You can listen to watch a modern movie and it not be bad. Not all celebrities do bad things. But when these sources point towards topics that can damage our bodies or reputations, we have to be careful. Because the more you are exposed to profanity, drugs, sexual references, and alcohol, the more likely you are to participate in those actions involving these substances, which can degrade you physically, mentally, and emotionally, and most importantly, spiritually. So if we don't conform to the world and do fill our spirits with godly sources of information, then we will shine. So by being uncomfortable and stepping outside of our comfort zone and avoiding the cultural norms, you're going to be noticed. Because if you look at music artists today, right, they all pretty much seem like they follow the same mold. So if just from, you know, a basic thought pattern, if someone brings out something different, it's more likely to be noticed if they have a large enough platform, right? If a movie, you know, I've noticed how much Christian movies get press coverage because they're different. They're not all these movies, you know, the remakes, all these sequels, you know, then there's something different that comes out and people notice it. So who says that we can't be different the same way those Christian movies are different from the norm and go out into our everyday lives and make a difference. So finally, the peace and joy that only God will provide will make people wonder what is different about you and leads me to this. Follow God's will and guidance of the Holy Spirit. So this directly goes back into investing your relationship with God, because Romans 8:26-27 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance to the will of God. They're perfectly intertwined. You know, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, he's guiding you in your everyday life. You have no doubt that you're going with God's will, because that is God's will. So, you know, it's important to have the Holy Spirit's guidance in your life. And it's important to follow God's will and pray that every move you will make would be in God's will. So I didn't have a very long sermon for you tonight, but I hope that it really dwells on you, because I'm going to do something different, and I'm not going to end in an altar call. I want to end in a call to action. I want to end with each and every one of you having the mindset that you can go out there and you can change the world. And it doesn't have to be out there. It can be in here, changing the church, because how are we going to be a structurally sound people if we ourselves are falling apart? You know, what if that means taking the extra job opportunity in the church as a volunteer? What if that means taking a kid home or just helping prepare for something? You know, you could be the person to come out of the way and step out and do that, because you're going to make a difference. You're going to stand out, because active members of a church do a lot more than passive members, just by definition. So we need to be active in here and out there. We need to stand out, and that's what I have for you today. Pastor Jerry, can you come up?
I want the group to come on back up and do that last song again. Maybe another couple of songs. We got plenty of time here. But he was talking about doing the will of God. And so many people, they get confused in life and they say, oh, I just want to know that I'm doing God's will. Well, let me tell you what God's will is. I hold it in my hand, the Word of God. There are some things you do not find in this book, like who to marry, what type of work to do, and where to live, and things of that nature. But you can find God's will. I remember Lester Sumrall, he had three sons, and he really helped me understand the will of God. He said, if my sons got up every day and said, oh, Father, what is your will? Father, what is your will? Father, what is your will? Oh, Father, what is your will? He said, I've taught all of my children what my will is, and they're all in my will as long as they obey my word. He said, the way they get out of my will is they disobey my word. I hold in my hand the word of God, and the way you get in God's will is to do what God says. It's not really rocket science. There's nothing hard about it. You just find the concepts, the precepts, the commandments of God, and you just move into what God is saying. Now, if your children came to you every day and says, oh, mother, oh, daddy, what is your will? What is your will? What is your will? What is your will? You would say, just do what I told you to do. Quit coming every day asking me what my will is. You're in my will as long as you're obeying what I've said. So I'm just telling you a real simple way while it was getting set up there. If you're doing what God's word says, if you've been born again of God's Spirit, if you're obeying God, if you're trying to live a holy life, if you're being conformed not to this world, but to the Word of God, I love the name. They drew it off of Romans chapter 12, and he quoted verse 2. You know, that we may, verse 3 says, that we may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And so these young men on the right track, and I know they're going to do well in life. But haven't you enjoyed them tonight? Give them a big hand. Amen. And we're so thankful for what God has done in their lives. Amen.
I was buried beneath my my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I've tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. And I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. Your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old made new, Jesus, when I met you. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. Needed rescue, my sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing, now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open, 'cause when you called my name, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave.
Amen. We want to end with that song, I Can Only Imagine, because this may be your last chance before you go off to school to sing your favorite song, okay? But I want you to quote those, you call my name, quote the words of that. Call my name.
You call my name. And I ran out of that grave.
Call my name, I ran out of that grave.
Out of the darkness.
Out of the darkness.
Into your glorious day.
Into your glorious day. Is there anyone in here, before they sing this other song, that you've never come out of darkness into the marvelous light, and the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight? Because I'll tell you one thing, every time they say that, I remember how I came out of darkness. And I'm sure every person in here that's ever been born again, that you heard him call your name, and you came out of that darkness, out of the grave. Hallelujah. What a day. Amen. And what a day that will be. Anybody that needs to get things right with the Lord, He's spoken to your heart, and you just want to make sure that you're sure tonight, and the Holy Spirit has spoken to you. We don't want to end a service without giving you that opportunity. What a day that will be when our Jesus we shall see. When He takes us by the hand, leads us through the promised land. And I can only imagine. Amen.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine. For me, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? So my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. When that day comes, find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine, and all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. So my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
Pastor Ricky, if you would come up, please. Amen. You know, I was thinking about the different generations that are represented in here tonight, and how God is a generation of God. I'm the baby boomer.
Yes.
This is the X generation right here. And you're a millennial, or no, you're a Z. How old are you?
I'm
19. 19. You're a Z generation. Yeah, got any millennials in here? Yeah, Brother Elam, run on down here. Hallelujah, you qualify.
We didn't say you were a millennial, like 1,000 years old.
But Brother Bud, Ted, and Sister Joan, they're what's called the silent generation. They're the people with the money, the silent generations. Amen. The older folks. Amen. Hallelujah. But I don't believe we got anybody in here 30? Anybody 38 down to 20? Anybody in here right now like that? Are you under 38? Oh, your daughter. Okay, yeah. My daughter Jennifer qualifies. Who's that? Shemaine, run on down here. We got all the generations. Brother Bud, come on down. Brother Bud Tedder. We're going to put it in order. So you get right there next to him. Brother Bud, you get on this side. So here's the silent generation. And I'm the baby boomer. This is the X generation. This is the millennial generation. And that's the Z generation. And so we got all five generations represented in here. But didn't the Lord minister to everyone's heart tonight through this group of Z generation? Amen. Hallelujah. That's wonderful how God just moves from generation to generation to generation. And I hope your heart has been lifted tonight like mine has. And thank you for coming out to this youth service and for being a part of it. Pastor Ricky, how about just greet the people and say whatever's on your heart?
Okay. You know, when you hear worship, it's really ageless, isn't it? Amen. Because it's just one family. We are all together in one bond and one love. But I tell you something else. When you look up and you see these young people up here, they are going to take our place. Amen. So let's encourage them. Let's let them know that God is using them. Amen. And they need to hear it, because when I was that age, not so long ago, amen, I want you to know, my Aunt Lola, my Aunt Gert, those other ones, they absolutely spurred me on, and we thank God for it. Amen. Any church that's going to do anything great for God has got to have all five generations. And thank the Lord for what he's doing. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. We always like to end this way. Do you want to end it for us? Look at three people and what?
Blessed and highly favored of God.
Look at three people and tell them, you're blessed and highly favored of God.
You're.
Say it again. You're blessed and highly favored of God. Go in the power of the Spirit. You're blessed and highly favored of God. Thank you, God.